بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is Ar-Rahman.
Allah
who is Al-Mannan.
La ilaha illa.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Brother Sohail is our special guest speaker for today's discussion. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam, brother. Thank you for having me here.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of the, we can say, occultation of Imam Asr. We know that Imam Asr, Imam Mahdi by the Shias, they believe that he has the power from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the question is that if he has the omni power from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why should he hide from his enemies? And is this being hide necessarily from the hands of the enemies or no, it has other reasons?
So here I would like to talk about knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That is in relation to this power. One of the power is knowledge. The knowledge can be divided into two sections.
Okay.
The knowledge of something which is present to us right here and now, the knowledge that is for us, me and you. We can see the mic and the studio and everything. This is called ilm bil hadir, the presence knowledge, the knowledge of the present.
Or ilm huzuri.
Ilm huzuri.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And B, the knowledge of something that which we know but is not here now. It's called ilm bil ghayb. Ilm ghayb. The knowledge of what is concealed from the senses. It is. It should be noted, however, that the above division is according to the general linguistic meaning of the term. The knowledge of ghaib itself can be divided into two kinds, the ilm al-ghaib. One, the knowledge that comes to us through our senses but indirectly. Example of the knowledge, of this kind of knowledge that comes through our senses but indirectly are, for example, history.
Yes.
History is one of the knowledge that comes to through our senses, that comes through to us through narrations of from one person to another by speech, in writing, examining the relics and remainings of the past, then deducing certain historical facts from them. This is one kind of ilm ghaib that reaches us. The second one, this type of knowledge of ilm ghaib does not come through our senses. It should be observed that the first type can be by the means of ordinary senses, while the other is not. Well, it's only maybe by special senses which is given to a person, like telepathic sense, if that exists.
Okay.
You see. However, only to the second part of the ilm ghaib, the non-sensory one, that the technical meaning of the knowledge of ghaib is denoted. Ilm al ghaib that Urf has in mind is the one that is on the second one. The historical mention in the Holy Quran shows about tiding news of the ghaib. So here we would like to say that we have a verse in the Holy Quran that says nobody knows ilm ghaib apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have in Surah number 6 verse 59 that states, with him are the keys of the ghaib. None knows them but he.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have, who can intercede with him except the cases he permits? He knows what is in front of them and what is behind them, and they encompass nothing in his knowledge to what he wills. Now here we are talking about ilm ghaib mutlaq. You see, this one, apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody has it.
Yes.
But Allah has the capacity of giving a part of knowledge of ghaib to someone he likes, you see, a part of it. He can denote that to the prophets and the imams. So, for example, if he wills, he can give that part of ilm ghaib, of which it doesn't become ilm ghaib, because ilm ghaib is a direct construction, it becomes a news. Mm-hmm. So Allah has ilm-e-ghayb. He gives that news to the prophets and the imams whenever and wherever they require it. If the imams and the prophet require this kind of knowledge, which is the ghayb of according to general public, Allah provides them. And because they will, Allah wills, because whenever prophet requires something to complete their mission, Allah provides it with them, to them. You see? So this is what the knowledge is. It. Second is to understand, how can they use this knowledge? Can they use in their benefit, or they have to use it in the benefit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Like, should it be in line with Allah's will or no? Can they use it against it? Mm-hmm. No, they cannot use it against
it. Is it only limited to prophets and the imams? I mean, ilm al-ghayb or something?
No. As I said, that mm-hmm. Allah wills, He can give it to anyone He likes.
Because we have the story of Asif ibn Barkhiya in the Holy Quran. Because the Surah Naml, Ayah 40, referring to Hazrat Sulaiman, that we can say, before you wink or eye, shut an eye, we can say, I can bring it to you. So it shows that a kind of hidden knowledge, hidden ilm is also given to, for example, Hazrat Maryam, the wife of Prophet Ibrahim, the mother of Moses, Hazrat Khiz, Asaf ibn Barkhiya, and the others, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. So we have traditions that it says that one of our imams says that Allah has... or the knowledge is 27 letters, or 29 letters.
Yes.
The knowledge, of which one of that letter, this the one who brought the mm-hmm. Bilqis, the throne of Bilqis to Hazrat Sulaiman, had.
Yes.
You see, so that is called ilmu min al kitab.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
Okay.
A part of ilm from the book. You see, and Imam says that if I'm not mistaken, either them or the coming Mahdi will have 25 parts of ilm, and 2 parts of ilm are with Allah Himself. The 2 parts that are not with the Imam is with Allah Himself for him. And that's why we have this story of this one. We have another story of certain mystics being able to turn things into gold.
Yes.
Alchemists. And we have more. We have many of this kind of, for example, Ibn Sina.
Yes, Avicenna.
He's a physician.
Yes.
A doctor.
Yes, yes.
He would be able to tell you disease just by holding your finger.
Yeah, tip of your finger, that's right.
That kind of diqqat and attention that it requires, it has some kind of knowledge. I'm not saying that this knowledge is ilmu min al-kitab. I'm just trying to bring that a normal person, if he works hard, does reach a small part of that stage that he could have something from this ilm. And if you see in the time of our imams, it's not only our imam had this kind of knowledge. Their companions, some of them would have this kind of small bits and pieces. Today we have something called as deja vu.
Yes.
You see, this kind of, some of them, they can be divided, but few of them is related to khabare ayande, an information, a news of the later,
of the future.
That you know, someone can see in his dream and then afterwards realize, oh, I have seen this in my dream, you see. So it's there. Now, which part? A small part. So if the imam is getting a part of it, we are getting maybe a part of a very big part that the imam has gotten, if we are reaching in that level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoys and gives us this good tidings and news. Because one of the things that it's this part of ilm is when it's given to someone, Allah calls it a good news.
Okay.
You see? And a lot of this ilm al-ghayb that we are talking about, the first version, if you remember, the one that is sensorical, is that the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the news of historical incidents and the hereafter incidents, of which a lot of hereafter incidents are right now proven by scientists,
yes,
of which at the time, 1,400 years ago, they never used to be there. For example, about the star, I forgot its name, I recently found out, there's a star that gives a sound of a knock.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, the scientists discovered this star and saw that this star is making a knock sound.
Mm-hmm.
This star is actually there in the Holy Quran. There is a specific name. I just forgot it. But if you find out, if you research on Google and write the star that makes a knocking sound and Quran, mm-hmm. you will see that that star is mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of news that we are given right now is ilm ghaib in the Quran that either recently took place, or for those people, at least at the time of the Prophet, it was an ilm ghaib that Khuda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioned in the Quran that has been proven right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many more to be proven in the future when the scientists will be able to reach that capacity of being able to identify these miracles and this good news.
That's right.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praises to Allah, all glories to Allah. We worship Allah and no one but Allah.
Now, one important question is that, for example, if an imam knew that, for example, in the future, on such a day, on such a night, on such an incident, will be killed, why he doesn't stop it, or could he do something else? Is it a kind of, for example, committing suicide, self-killing, if he knew the exact, for example, incidents that took place to himself or the people around?
So if you see that, even if the imam knows, for example, we have the story of Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam,
yes,
when he told his companion that I am giving my hand of friendship to Ibn Muljim, but he's looking to kill me. You see, it was around that time when Amir al-Mumineen told Ibn Muljim that you want to come and kill me, and Ibn Muljim told him, no, I can't kill you. Like, you are, I believe in you. I have this and that. His companion asked him the similar question. Amir al-Mumineen, when you know that he is going to kill you, why don't you arrest him?
Mm-hmm.
The reply of Amir al-Mumineen says that there is no punishment for an act that hasn't taken place
mm-hmm.
yet. You see, me having the news of the future of the Iron Day, for example, we have a lot of scholars that they knew the day that they are going to die. And some of the best stories that you can find are from the Shuhadas, the martyrs.
That's right.
Many of the martyrs, after doing research in their lifestyle and stuff, we come to realize that these martyrs were saying something that did not make sense at the time of their life. But after they pass away, it starts making sense. For example, they say that I'll be going to Najaf and I might not come back, for example. And this is the day that I will meet maybe Hazrat Fatima or something like that. So he was actually giving news of his passing away before that day. So these are those ilm ghaib from the smaller version of it, not the main version. Now, why do imam do not save themselves? Here is a question that the purpose of ilm ghaib is to be able to accomplish the missions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not use it for their own purposes. We can see in the riwayat that there is one person who used that knowledge for himself. And then gave people, then deceived people. And that person is someone who was left down. He was a great follower of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, yes, when Hazrat Musa went to the mountain. And this guy was there and he could see Hazrat Jibreel, or he could see the footprints of Hazrat Jibreel. And he used that dust from the foot and then throwed on the calf.
Yes.
That's how the sound came to exist. So there are people that use it on their benefit, but is the Imam's intention to use the knowledge that they have for their benefit? No.
Mm-hmm.
However, they don't rush to it. For example, in the case of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we know that Imam Hussein, even though he knew that he's going to die, shahadat is a very good thing. Mm-hmm. And normally we want to go towards that road. But we try to bring obstacles and try to better it. The same thing that Imam Hussein alayhi salam did. So when he was stopped outside the outskirts and he was told that we are supposed to go somewhere, the Imam said that I was called by the people of Kufa. If I'm not allowed to enter, at least allow me to return to Medina.
Yes.
You see? So if you see even the movements that is called, it's only the incidents that came forward.
Yes.
But still, Imam was not allowed to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he had an option.
Yes.
You see? So first he was called by the 14,000 people, and that's why he was. So it is like this, that they went for Hajj, and because they were ready to kill Imam al-Hussein, they came out of there and then they went to Kufa after receiving these letters or around that period. And when they were reaching Kufa, they were stopped from there. And then slowly, slowly, the incidents, cause and effect, made them reach to Karbala, you see,
that's
of
right.
Which how they reached to Karbala is a very brief story into it.
Yes.
But at every point, Imam tried to refrain from war.
Mm-hmm.
With the condition that I will not give bay'ah to Yazid.
Yes.
You see? Now here it was not because of him. It was because of Islam.
That's
so
right.
He does not give bay'ah to Yazid and therefore ends up attaining shahada around that time.
Thank you very much, Brother Suhail, for a nice elaboration regarding ilm al-ghayb, the knowledge of the hidden, and also the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li aliyin wa husaynin wa hasan. Li aliyin wa husaynin wa hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن